pitch the ball to Bell. That's upfield. 40, 45, 50, 45, 40. He's in the 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Cowboys. What a run.
Kicks it left wing, Lucas. Three-point jumper. Good. 6 seconds. No! Rebound! Cowboys win! Cowboys win! Oh, the Cowboys are going to the Final Four!
Pistols firing! Touchdown, Oklahoma State!
Okay, today I sit down with Ryan Cameron, who is Oklahoma State's golfing sports information director, to talk a little bit about OSU golf and the upcoming Masters tournament. Okay, Ryan Cameron, welcome to the podcast. It's good to have you on.
I appreciate it. This is I've done a little bit of radio, and I've actually done a few TV, but this is my first podcast, so take it easy on me.
Well, there you go. Ryan, you are, as I told the listeners earlier in the introduction, you are the SID for golf and women's basketball. Tell the listeners a little bit how you kind of got into that position at Oklahoma State.
Well, back when I was in school, I needed an internship, this is the direction I wanted to go. And I got an internship over at the National Wrestling Hall of Fame, which is basically just across the parking lot from us here in the arena. And I worked for Myron Roderick, who used to wrestle here back in the day. And then he was the wrestling coach. And then he was our athletic director. And so he got me in over here with our former sports information director, was Steve Buzzard, and I started off as a student, and I did men's and women's tennis. I knew very little about tennis, but I got started with that, and then I moved into a graduate assistant position, and I took on soccer, and so I did a little bit of soccer work, and then after that position became available. We grew the department a little bit, and so I was able to get on full time and moved into my role with men's golf and women's basketball. And then a few years ago, I picked up women's golf as well. So I'm a three sport guy, and that's the Cliff's Notes version of how I got to where I am right now.
So you call yourself a three sport SID, I guess.
that's what I am. You know, and I love every bit of it. I love all three sports I work with. I wouldn't have it any other way.
So you've kind of run the gamut a little bit of OSU sports. Is golf kind of the one that you really wanted to get into, or I know you play a lot. Is that?
Yeah, it was our head coach, our head men's coach, Mike McGraw, was the he was the assistant coach for our Mike Holder when he was the head coach here. And when I got started in this, our offices, we were actually out west of town, and they were renovating the arena at the time. So we were out in cubicles. And our cubicles for the sports information office were right next door to tennis and men's and women's golf. So we basically, you know how cubicles work. We got to share all of our conversations, whether or not we wanted to or not. And that's how I got to be friends with Coach McGraw. And so whenever I got on full time, it was just kind of a natural fit. And, you know, I do love the sport. So I moved into that role, and I started with them. I took over for them in 2001, and have been with them ever since.
You talk about Coach McGraw, and just talking a little bit about how the golf team's doing so far this year. I believe they've won 6 tournaments. Talk a little bit about how their last tournament last weekend against Augusta, or not against Augusta State, but at Augusta State, they won that. Talk a little bit about how they finished up in the last round there.
Well, they really have had an impressive run, and it's been they have won 6 times. They've made 9 starts and won 6 of those, and they've actually won their last 3 events. And what's been impressive is they've won 4 out of 5 this spring, and 3 of those have come without Peter Uihlein. And you know, everybody knows who he is. I mean, he's the top ranked amateur in the world. And he's had, you know, between the Masters and PGA events and so on and so forth, he's been out of the lineup for three of these tournaments. So, you know, they've gone 3-0 without him, which has been impressive. They started their current string. They won at Southern Highlands, and I know you've talked about that, you know, a couple of weeks ago. And what was impressive about that was Morgan Hoffman got his first win of the year. But a lot of people don't know he was playing on a bad ankle. He had a sprained ankle, so he was hurting a little bit, and he got around a really tough golf course, played really well, and that got him going. And then they went to Oregon, and they won up there. And in this last tournament, they went to the Augusta State Invitational, and they held a 10-shot lead going into the final round, and Tennessee made up the ground on them and actually took the lead. And we had to have three of our guys birdie 18, and then that got them. We had Drew Page and Taylor Gooch. Drew's a sophomore. Taylor's a freshman. They both made birdie. And then that got the Cowboys back within striking distance. And then Kevin Tway was coming down the stretch, and he was in the he won the individual medalist honors. And he birdied 17 and 18, and to erase the Volunteers, you know, the margin that they'd made up, they were actually up. And then he made those two birdies, and we won by one. So it was good to see the senior get his first win of the year, and he was really clutch down the stretch for the team. And it was just, you have to really feel good about them, because it can't do anything but help, you know, these guys get confidence that they've been able to go out and be successful without a great player in the lineup.
Right. Well, I mean, the funny thing is, like you mentioned, Peter Uihlein hasn't even really played that much as of late. Is he? I know Kevin Tway, I believe, is the number 4 overall ranked amateur right now. Is there? I mean, are they kind of in the running against each other for Player of the Year, or does Uihlein kind of have a leg up on him, or how's that going to shake out as we come down the stretch?
I think it's going to be really interesting to see, and this isn't something I have talked to Coach McGraw about, but I think you have to throw Kevin's name in the mix. It will be really interesting because Peter, you know, he has missed three tournaments, so he's only made 6 starts, and they've got the Aggie Invitational coming up down in College Station, and then Big 12s, and then Regionals and NCAAs, so they have 4 events left, and I really think it's going to come down here, you know, who finishes where down the stretch. And there's a couple other guys. There's a kid from Florida that has played well this year, and he's actually one of Peter's good friends. His name's been in the mix. And then there's a freshman from UCLA that Peter actually beat him at the U.S. Amateur last summer, and he's had a really good year. And he's right now in the college rankings, it's the Golf Week Sagarin Performance Index is what that's called. He's ranked number 2. Peter just moved back in front of him without actually having played a tournament, but it's a computer ranking. And so this kid, Patrick Cantlay from UCLA, is ranked 2. So there are some other guys from other schools, and I think these tournaments coming down the stretch are going to be really crucial in determining who gets the Player of the Year, because I really think at this point it's really a toss up, and nothing has been decided. Nobody's pulled away from the pack.
Now, you talked about how the Big 12 and regionals are coming up. What's kind of the mindset going in? Because you've got the number 1 team in the country. Do you kind of, I mean, is there any sense of them looking past the Big 12 and the regional championships to the NCAAs, which are being held at Carson, or are they focused, you know, on the matters at hand?
Oh, they've done a really good job of focusing. You know, obviously, I think the results show that on what's in front of them. The Big 12 is a very, very important tournament to our program. In 64 years, Oklahoma State's won 53 conference championships. So that is not one to be overlooked, and there's a lot of emphasis placed on that. There's a lot of pride in the conference tournament and winning that Big 12 trophy. And then, you know, the regional, that's you better make sure you take care of your business at the regional, because if you don't make it out of the regional, then there is no NCAA championship. So these tournaments coming up are very, very important, and I think our guys have done a good job of handling their business and being focused on the task at hand.
Where's the regional? Is there, I guess, explain to the listeners, is there a, is there a region? Is there like one big regional, or do they hold regionals at different places? And which, how will OSU compete in that to get to the NCAA championships?
Well, they what happens is they've changed the format a couple of years ago. It's it used to be three regionals and the top 10 advanced, and that's been trimmed down, and now you have six regionals, and they will get assigned to a regional, and they take X amount of teams out of each regional that advance, and then the top, I believe, two individuals. Actually, no, it's the top individual on a non-qualifying team now with the six regionals advances. So you'll have individuals that play at the NCAA championship as well that's held here. And then once you get to the NCAAs here, it used to be 72 holes of stroke play, and it is now 54 holes of stroke play. And after that, that determines the individual champion. The top eight teams in the stroke play go into a match play tree and play, you know, kind of, it's like a basketball tournament. You play through the bracket there, and that determines the team champion now.
Right, which is what happened, I guess, last year. Was it last year the first year that they went to that, when Oklahoma State lost to Augusta State, or was it 2 years ago?
It was actually 2 years ago, and we had quite a team. If you remember, we trotted out a pretty good roster a couple of years ago, and that was at Inverness Club up in Toledo, and they actually lost. We rolled through the stroke play portion of that. We're up by 13 shots through the three rounds. We're the top seed, and then played Georgia in the first round, and Georgia had been, it had been us 1-2 basically all year long, and they kind of stumbled in the stroke play, but they found a way to get into the match play tree and were the eighth seed, and they it came down to the last match, and their kid, a guy named Brian Harmon, beat Ricky Fowler on the last hole, and they advanced. But that was a really talented team. We had to tell you a little bit about how talented that team was. We had, in that quarterfinal match, we had Peter was playing number four for us, and we had Ricky playing one, Morgan Hoffman, who is a junior on this year's team, and then Trent Leon was a senior, who, he was a freshman on our 2006 national championship team, was playing three, and then Kevin Tway was playing five.
Wow.
And then last year, obviously, it was the same thing. We came through the stroke play, and we're the top seed. We had a 4-shot lead coming out of that, and then I tell you what, it won two matches against really good teams. Had to beat Stanford in the first round, in the quarterfinal round of the match play, and then the semifinals beat a really talented Oregon team. And then obviously everybody knows what happened with the Augusta State match in the championship,
right?
And so Hopefully for our crew, it'll be third time as the charm.
Yeah, I hope so too. Well, speaking of Augusta, there's a big tournament down there this weekend. Oklahoma State, as I wrote a little bit about today, is sending four guys, three former Oklahoma State players and one current, Hunter Mahan, Ricky Fowler, Bo Van Pelt, and Peter Uihlein. I kind of wanted to go with you, just go through those four guys and talk a little bit about what we can expect, or kind of what the ceiling is for their performance in the tournament. So I guess, first of all, if we want to start with Peter, what are his expectations, and what should our expectations be for him going into the Masters?
Well, it's you never know how a guy in that position is going to react. Now, I do know the last time we had current guys that were amateurs in the tournament, they fared very well. We had, the U.S. amateur runner-up gets to go as well, and Hunter Mahan went, and he had a good run. He in 2003, he finished, I believe it was, he was the low amateur runner-up. I think he finished top 30, and so he was number two in the amateur run. And then the next year, Casey Wittenberg, who was here for 1 year, he was actually the low am, and he tied for 13th. So we've had some success there, and I think Peter, you know, he's got the game. He can definitely go hold his own. It'll be really interesting to see how he handles playing with Phil Mickelson, the defending champ, in those first two rounds. And, you know, he'll have galleries as big as anybody. So there is some of that stuff. If he can handle that, you know, he putts and chips really well, and he should, you know, there's no reason he shouldn't be able to make the cut there.
Well, yeah, his game. Tell the listeners a little bit about how does his game set up for Augusta? I know he plays at Karsten, which is obviously a lot tighter and narrower than Augusta National. Will his game translate well over there?
I think it will. You know, he hits the ball a mile, so that you know, that always helps the cause. Whenever you can bump it out there as far as he does, and then but the other thing people don't realize is the short game is so good. And for those people that did get to see him at the U.S. Amateur, you know, you'll remember he hit some really good, you know, some putts and chips around those greens at Chambers Bay. And so he's shown a really good ability to, you know, I think he's got a really good all around game, and it'll, you know, I think that'll definitely serve him well there.
Yeah. Well, what about Bo Van Pelt? He's only playing in his second Masters in his career. What do you look for out of him going into the tournament?
You know, what's funny about Bo is I don't think people realize how good a year he had last year. And I think he was pretty close to making the Ryder Cup team. And he just kind of quietly goes about his business. And, you know, I don't know how much golf you got to watch, but it seemed like most Sundays you'd look up and sure enough on the leaderboard, there he was in the top 10, and he was always up around, you know, the leaders. And that's, but he's just done it in kind of a quiet manner. He doesn't have the flash and dash of a Ricky Fowler, or even to a certain extent, a Hunter Mahan. And so I just, that's another guy. He's just a really solid player. And I think he may be one of those guys that can just kind of maybe sneak in there, and you wouldn't be surprised on the weekend to look up and all of a sudden there he is up there among the leaders on the board. And he's been solid the last couple of years, and I wouldn't expect that to change this weekend.
Yeah, I think he actually had 8 top tens in 2010, which, I mean, pretty solid year on the PGA Tour. So yeah, I mean, like you said, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him make the cut and playing in one of the last, you know, 10 or 12 groups on Sunday. Obviously the two big guns that everybody knows about, Ricky Fowler and Hunter Mahan. Mahan has finished 8th and 10th in the last 2 years, and Fowler has actually never played there. Do you look at those two as two guys that could possibly walk away with the green jacket on Sunday?
I keep waiting on Hunter's moment. He's a guy, he hits the, you know, I had the good fortune of working with him when he was in school here. He was, he actually played the last time we hosted the NCAAs in 2003. He was the National Player of the Year that year, and we finished as the runner up here. And so I got to see him play when he was in college, and he hits the ball so well. He's such a good ball striker that when it comes down to with him, and especially at Augusta, it's all about putting. And if he gets hot with the putter, then there is no reason he can't, he could put up some really low numbers there. And so that's what it's going to come down to with him is the putter. And I think it's just a matter of time. He was close a couple of years ago at the U.S. Open. And yeah, I don't know if you remember, he caught a really bad break the year Lucas Glover won. And Hunter was within a shot or two of the lead. I think he was on 16 or 17, and he hit a shot that hit the stick and shot off the green. And it, you know, he hit it so good, and it should have, you know, that's golf. He caught a bad break, but instead of making a birdie after hitting a great shot, you know, he ended up not being able to get up and down from the rough and made bogey. And it was a bad two shot swing. So, because I really thought a couple of years ago at the U.S. Open, he would have his moment.
Well, wasn't that the year that they actually ended up finishing on a Monday or something, because it was there was rain or it got dark or something, and I remember watching it on the computer at work or something on a Monday for some reason.
It may have been you know, I can't remember. I just remember that was the year that Lucas won, and that you know, sitting here thinking that I think you are right. And, you know, and I remember watching that shot and watching him hit it right at the stick, thinking, all right, here's his shot at a birdie. And, he hit it too well. He just drilled the stick and shot it off the green into the rough. And everybody knows how that U.S. Open rough is. There's nothing fun about that. So he has been up around the top of the leaderboard in majors. So that being said, you know, I think the first one may be the hardest one to win, but if he could get over the hump and get that done, you know, I wouldn't want to speak for him, but I would think as much as he's been around and in the top 10 in these majors, that he would be fairly comfortable on Sunday, you know, coming down the stretch. And, you know, like I said, he is capable of going out and putting up a really low number. As far as Ricky goes, I'm really curious to see how he plays it, because he is such an aggressive player. You know, the term that I've kind of coined for him is rock and roll golf. You know, he will fire, he'll fire at flags, and he'll do some of that a little bit like Phil Mickelson. And I'm just, there's questions about him just because it will be his first time around the golf course. And I'm as curious as anybody just to see how he handles himself in his first trip around the golf course. He's a very confident kid, and I know he'll probably perform pretty well. As far as contending this year, I don't want to rule him out, but I would be shocked, you know, in just, you know, to be that successful in your first go around in Augusta. That's kind of a tall order. So if I were to make a pick out of the Cowboys, I would definitely have to lean toward Hunter Mahan. And if he gets the putter going, then he'll be in really good shape.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the thing with Fowler is that if someone were to win in their first Masters appearance, it would be somebody like him, who's a little bit, like you said, kind of has a brash game and goes after flags. And I mean, he talks all the time about how much he looks up to Mickelson and how much he likes his game and how they're friends and all that stuff. And obviously Mickelson's had success there. So I think that, I'm very intrigued to see how well he plays, and him and Mahan seem to kind of be a part of this up and coming group that, like with Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy and a couple of these other guys. You can probably speak to this better, but it seemed like a little bit in the last year, it's kind of been a changing of the guard from your Mickelsons and your Tigers and your Ernies and your VJs to some of these younger guys.
It has been, and there are a lot of young, talented players. And wouldn't it be like Ricky, who is, you know, he's created a style all his own. That would be about right for him to go out and get his first career win and make it the Masters, wouldn't it? That would be, you know, why not? And you see that all orange get up with the green jacket on Sunday would be quite a sight, I think. But and that's one of the other things I've had the privilege. Actually, in 2002, I went with the team to NCAAs in Columbus, Ohio, at the Scarlet Course up there. It's a, you know, it's a pretty prestigious place, and we made the trip up there. And Hunter Mahan was in contention up there, and in his group, they put they shuffled the groups around a little bit, and he kind of got pulled away from our team because he was in contention. And so they put him with Graham McDowell, who played at UAB, and Ryan Moore, who is he's been a successful player out there on tour. I don't know, most people would recognize him. He's got a beard and he wears a necktie actually out there during his rounds. And
did he go to UNLV or was
he it? did go to UNLV. And so that was the threesome that I got to watch the final round there. So it's pretty cool to get to say I saw Graham McDowell play when he was at college at UAB. And I've had the chance to see several of those guys that are out there on tour now when they were in college, and it really is a talented group of guys. I actually got to see JB Holmes play when he was at Kentucky, and he was wearing the black glove when he was at Kentucky, you know, hitting it. He hit it a mile and a half off the tee, and so I got to see a little bit of him. But there are a lot of these young guys that, and another guy, you know, one of Ricky's good friends that he's made out there, Bubba Watson. He's turned into a great player. There's just a lot of really, really talented players. And one of the things we've always, you know, that gets discussed is golf gets harder and harder all the time, because I think there are more guys that are giving up other sports and, you know, quote unquote athletes are, you know, moving, like, look at Brandon Weeden. He plays golf now. And there's guys that, you know, football, basketball, those kind of guys that are, and some of them even gone to the extreme of giving up those sports to move into golf. And so I think the talent pool just gets deeper and deeper all the time. And you can see it in college golf with these guys and some of the scores they're shooting. It's just unbelievable. You're getting these big, strong guys out there that are just skilled athletes, and it's just going to make the game better and better.
Well, yeah, I was actually thinking about that today. I was watching, I guess, a little video of Dustin Johnson hitting on the range, and he looks like a guy that should be coming middle relief for like the Orioles out of coming out of the pen or something. Like, he's just a big imposing guy that is just kind of scary to be around. Have you seen kind of in the progression of college golf that there's more of an emphasis on training and weightlifting and running and things like that than there has been in the past?
Well, as far as, I can't speak for other teams, but I know that was always something. And I think Coach Holder, when he was the coach, he was one of the pioneers in college golf as far as having his guys work out and be in good shape. You know, our guys, they're up at the crack of dawn, and they have workouts here. You know, they lift and train and do all. They don't just go out and hit balls. I mean, they lift weights and they do all that stuff. So that's always been something since I've been here that our guys have done, and they've always been in good shape. And I think you see that across the tour. A lot of those guys realize, you know what, I've got to step it up because these guys are, they're in better shape, and you know, they're more flexible, and that lends itself to being able to hit the ball better. And so that's always been an emphasis for our guys. And if you look at the guys on our team now, they really are in good shape. If you were to meet Peter Uihlein, you'd realize, you know what, he's in great shape. They're athletes, and that's a testament to Coach Holder. You know, he had the foresight way back when to get those guys on that program and realize that it was important to develop these guys and get them ready.
Yeah, there aren't a whole lot of Craig Stadlers walking around the amateur links these days. Well, before I let you go, Ryan, let's get a non, I'll let you off the hook. Let's get a non OSU pick for the weekend at the Masters. Who do you have winning it?
Oh man. I can tell you the two guys that I like. I'll give you two guys that I like, and then I'll pick one of them. How's that?
Okay. That's fine. That's good.
I like Matt Kuchar, and I like Dustin Johnson. I really, it's almost like the golf gods owe Dustin Johnson one. So if I had to pick one, I'd go with Dustin Johnson. I really do like his game. He's a talented player, and I think he's a lot of fun to watch. So I'll go with the guy from Coastal Carolina. How about that? A lot of people probably don't know he played there, but he's a Coastal Carolina guy.
No, that's so good. I like it. I think, like you said, he's owed a big one after the PGA Championship last year. I was actually going to pick Kuchar. So I'm glad you went with Dustin Johnson on that pick. So, Ryan, I appreciate you coming on, and we will have you on again definitely when the regionals and NCAAs come around. And it's good to talk to you.
I appreciate the time, and you're doing good work. So putting a lot of good information out there for the Oklahoma State fans, and I'll talk to you soon.
Well, thanks a lot, Ryan. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you later.